Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or guest speakers open the Bible and help us explore what it means to follow Jesus in everyday life. Whether you're listening from here in Airdrie or somewhere else around the world, our hope is that these messages encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus. Thanks for being part of the Hillside family. As family, we go.
If you'd like to join me, you can join me in Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews is at the back of the Bible. If you're turning there in your Bibles, you'll want to start looking from the back rather than the front. You'll find it a little sooner. If you are scrolling through on your app or whatever, it'll be down near the bottom of the list. You can also scan the QR code on the screen behind me or go to hillsideairdrie.ca/sermon notes where you can... follow along with our time together this morning. There's places for notes. There's questions for you to answer. There's prayers. There's all kinds of things for you to work through. There's scripture readings. There's devotionals. And there's a place for you to ask questions that at the bottom of the screen there, you can click on or tap on where it says connect. And there's a place where you can ask a question. And then each week, we will answer all of your questions. And if you've been if you're subscribed to our newsletter, you'll see that we've had lots of questions come in. And so we've got lots of answers. This week, we've already, before church even came, we had a question this week about whether or not pets go to heaven. And so you're going to be able to read that in our newsletter this upcoming week. And if you've got any other questions, we're always glad to be able to communicate with each other that way. But we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. In life, there are certain experiences that are universal, that no matter where you're from and kind of no matter what pathway your life has taken, there are certain experiences that we all experience in one way or another. Some are beautiful and they're wonderful, and the shared experience of celebrating together and enjoying other people. There's shared experiences that we have. Some are good, and some of them are feelings and experiences that many of us might know really well, that most of us know well and we can identify with, even when we wish that we couldn't. And one of those feelings that we can identify with, that maybe we wish we didn't know, but we can all understand, is the feeling of distance with another person that didn't used to be there. That we were close, and then something happened, and suddenly there's distance between us. Sometimes you can pinpoint it. It's obvious that you have a disagreement with someone. Something gets said that should never have been said. And after that, things just aren't the same. The relationship has fundamentally shifted. Conversations, posture, life together becomes more guarded. And there's a tension that lives there that wasn't there before. You're not as open. You're not as comfortable. There's a distance. But sometimes it's not necessarily a moment, a conversation. Sometimes it's more subtle. There's a conversation or there's conversations that just don't go well. And something starts to feel off. And you can feel yourself holding back, keeping your distance. And you can't necessarily say why. You just know that it is. And then there's moments like where you can walk into a room and you just know, I don't belong here. For one reason or another, you don't feel comfortable. You look around the room and everybody else seems so comfortable. Everybody else seems so connected. But for one reason or another, you feel like you're just stuck on the outside looking in. You're careful about what you say. You're aware of yourself in a different way because you can feel this distance that exists. And one of the places where we can feel this relational distance, where we can feel like it just feels off, feels like I can't come close, is we can carry that same feeling when it comes to God. Not always in a way we can explain. Not always in a way that we can put our finger on and say, well, this was the moment where everything shifted. Sometimes we have those moments, and sometimes it's just over the course of time, we discover that we're not as close as we used to be. A sense that God is distant. That maybe he's there, but he's not near. That he's out there, but he's not here. That maybe he cares, maybe he loves, but maybe not me. Maybe he cares, but not about me. Maybe he loves, but not me. And because we can have these feelings, it can cause us to keep distance from God, not necessarily walking away completely, not saying, that's it, I'm done. My faith is done, I'm walking away. But not drawing near either. Just kind of staying back. But the reality is that this sense of distance that we can feel when it comes to God, this feeling of distance, it's not just something that we've imagined. The Bible actually tells us that there was a real reason for it. Because there is something that stood between us and God that created distance. The Bible calls that sin. Not just individual mistakes, but this deeper reality in us that pulls us away from God. This condition that we live in that bent our hearts. This tendency to live a life apart from God, to center life around ourselves instead of him. See, it's important for us to understand that sin isn't just about what we've done. That sin in itself is not just a list of places where we knew what the right thing to do was and we just didn't do it. Or places where we did the wrong thing even though we knew what the right thing was. That's not fully what sin is. That's the first part of sin. But sin's not just about what we've done. It's about what's broken inside of us. And because sin breaks something inside of us, and because God is holy and perfect and completely good, that separation became real. Not because God didn't want us near. Not because God looked at us in our sinful state and said, I don't want you anywhere near me. Get out of here. But because suddenly there was something in the way. And when we look to the Old Testament, when we look to see how people operated in their relationship with God before Jesus, we see that this distance was actually fundamental to how people related to God. In fact, their relationship to God was built entirely around this distance. If we could go back and step into that world for a moment, you would see something very different than what we're used to. At the center of everything for the Jewish people at the time was the temple. It was this building that they would come to, but this wasn't just a religious building that people visited occasionally. This was the heart of their life with God. This was the only place where you could come and connect with the presence of God. Their worship revolved around it. Their festivals were centered there. Their sacrifices happened there. If you wanted to come close to the presence of God, it was the only place in the world that you could go to find God's presence. And inside the temple, there was different spaces. The temple had different layers. It had an outer court where anybody could come. And then once you went inside the building, there was these other rooms and other layers and other layers. And every layer that got closer to the center, less and less and less people were qualified to enter into these spaces. Areas where people could come, but only so far. And at the very center, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. This was the most sacred space. This was right in the center of the temple. It was understood to be the place where the very presence of God dwelt. That this, if you wanted to find the presence of God, this is where you went. And separating that space from everything else was a thick curtain, a barrier that was meant to remind everyone who could see it, you can't enter in here. It was meant to be visually, it was meant to be physically, emotionally, spiritually, a barrier to say you cannot come in. No one was allowed to enter that space freely. In fact, only one person could enter that space at all. The high priest, the one who was the in charge of all of the religious functioning of the entire nation of Israel, the one most top of the pyramid, number one guy, high priest. He was the only one allowed to enter. And he was only allowed to enter one day a year, on a specific day, after careful preparation, after offering sacrifices for himself and for the people to try and make atonement for everything that he had done and everything he had done wrong, making sure everything was exactly the way that it needed to be. Because this wasn't casual. He didn't just walk in. This wasn't comfortable. This was deeply serious. He couldn't just walk in. He had to prepare his life. He had to offer sacrifices for his own sins. He had to follow very specific instructions at the right time, in the right way, with the right heart. Because if he entered the space not having done everything exactly the way it was supposed to be done, to the letter of the law, if he had not properly dealt with what stood between him and God when he entered the Holy of Holies, he wouldn't survive. He would die. And that's where there's these traditions that describe that the high priest, when they would go into the Holy of Holies, they would put little bells on the bottom of their garment, so that as they moved around and as they did all of the things that God had commanded them to do when the priest would enter and they had all these responsibilities, as they moved, the people that were outside could hear that he was still moving, could hear that he was still alive. The bells would jingle, and so they would know, oh good, he's not dead. But there would also be traditions that would say that they would tie a rope around the waist of the high priest. Because if the bells stopped jingling, if the bells weren't showing that he was moving, and upon entering the presence of God, he hadn't done everything right, and because of that, he died, well, if the high priest wasn't good enough, I ain't going in there to get him. So they would have a rope tied around his waist so that if the bells stopped jingling, somebody, a group of people outside could drag him out because they were not going in there to get him. That's how serious this was. That's how real the distance was between God and us. You couldn't just walk into the presence of God. You stayed back. There was a barrier. There was separation. There was distance. And year after year, sacrifices were made again and again, not removing sin completely, just covering it temporarily, managing the distance, but never fully removing it. And for the people standing on the outside, for those who weren't the high priest, for those who were not even close to being the high priest, the message was clear. You can come close, but not too close. And it's into this reality, into this system, into this understanding of distance and barriers and careful, fearful access that Hebrews chapter 10 speaks to us about what's different because of Jesus. And what it says is nothing short of stunning. It tells us that everything we just talked about, everything that we just spoke about that was the reality of the Jewish people and their relationship with God through the Old Testament, it was real, but it's changed. Listen to what it says about this system in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. It says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. In other words, what we just talked about, this whole system, it was real, but it was incomplete. It happened, it was real, they did their best, but they could never finish the job. It managed the distance, but it could not remove it. But then everything shifts. Everything changes with Jesus. In the next verse, in verse 12, it says, but when this priest, that's speaking about Jesus, this section is talking about Jesus as the one true high priest. And so it says, but when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. His bells stopped jingling. But it wasn't because he was dead and needed to be dragged out. It was because he had done something that no other high priest could do. He finished the work. There didn't need to be more repetition. There didn't need to be ongoing sacrifices. No more trying again next year to try and set things right. We see that what the system could never fully accomplish, Jesus did once and for all. And then Hebrews says something that would have been almost unthinkable to the people hearing it. And it's pretty unthinkable for us to hear today, especially when you understand that this is talking about you, that this is talking about us. Because of Jesus, this is true of us. It says this, for by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And if I said to you this morning, raise your hand if you feel like you're pretty perfect. Raise your hand if you would use the word perfect to describe yourself. I'm guessing not a lot of hands would go up. And I'm guessing if your hand did go up, it may very be quickly met with an elbow from your spouse sitting next to you. Or from being like, what are you doing? You cannot put your hand up. Do you remember what happened this morning before we came to church? You are not perfect. It's unbelievable for us to be able to think about these kinds of language, but Hebrews tells us that he has made us perfect. But not just for a moment, not just reset the clock, not just sort of, okay, we're going to start over fresh again now and see where it goes from here. It says he's made us perfect forever. But what this doesn't mean is it doesn't mean that we've become morally flawless. It doesn't mean that from that moment on, from this moment on, from this day, now that you know this, from this day on March 22nd at 11:54 a.m., from here moving forward, you will never, ever sin again because of the power of Jesus at work in you. Amen. There you go. If only that was true. That's not what this means. And it doesn't mean that the next time we sin, we come to this place where we go, maybe he never spoke that over me. Because clearly I'm not perfect. It doesn't mean that we will never struggle. It doesn't mean that we will never fail. It doesn't mean that we'll never fall. It actually means something more foundational than that. Something that shapes how we see all of those moments. Every moment when we fail, every moment when we fall, every moment when we're not what we're supposed to be, this shapes that for us. What it means is that our standing before God has fundamentally changed. Where there once was a barrier, it's been removed. Where there once was separation, there's now nearness. Where there once was distance, there's now acceptance. The high priest had to prepare carefully just to step into that place once a year. And even then, it was with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, and a lot of questions. But because of Jesus, that distance is gone. And Hebrews keeps explaining this. He keeps showing it to us that if you think, I don't know if that's true, look to verse 17. Their sins and their lawless acts, I will remember no more. Not managed, not temporarily covered, not brought up again later, we're just not going to talk about this for now, but we'll revisit this later on, but for now we're just going to not talk about it. We're just going to pretend like it never happened. Remembered no more. And then it says this to draw this picture into a full circle. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. See, when you walked into church today, you didn't have to come in fearful that God might strike you dead when you walked in. Now, depending on how much baking you buy when you leave, you know, the calories and the sugar that God has replaced. So you don't have to be afraid. It's okay. But we are told that this place that one person, one time a year, could enter fearfully, could enter cautiously, could enter with every kind of backup plan in case things went wrong, that we could enter with confidence. Without hesitation, without fear, without backup plans, without wondering if we're going to be able to come in with confidence. The place that one person could enter once a year is now open to us. And not just open. The door's not just open for you to come in. You're welcomed in. And so Hebrews says this. In verse 22, so let us draw near to God. Draw near. Not stay back, not keep your distance, not stand a little back and hope that everything's okay. Draw near. Because Jesus doesn't just make forgiveness possible. He removes the barrier completely. And so, if all of that is true, if all of the things we just talked about are true for what Jesus does for us, if the barrier's been removed, if Jesus has made a way for us to come near, then there's an honest question we have to ask ourselves. There's a self-examinatory question that we need to ask ourselves. That if I am invited in, if God has made a way for me to come near, then why do so many of us stand at a distance? why do we hesitate? Why do we feel like at times we still need to stay back? Because the reality can be that the barrier is gone, but the instinct to stay back can still be there. So I think for some of us, it's a sense of unworthiness. We know our lives. We know our stories. We know the things we've done wrong. In fact, we know all the things we've done wrong. Other people can know some of the things we've done wrong, but not everybody knows everything I've done wrong, but I know everything I've done wrong. And something says in us that even though we can read that all of your sins are washed away, that we know our sins. And so we can say to ourselves, yeah, but I don't know if this mess is welcome. For others, it's shame. It's not that we just know the things that we've done, but it's the weight of those things that we've done. That it's not just that God can't forgive me, it's that I can't forgive myself. And so I can't come close because the weight of shame is pushing me down. The parts of our stories that we don't want to talk about, the things that we wish we could undo, and instead of drawing us near, it causes us to stay where we are because we can't figure out how to move forward. For some, it's uncertainty. We're not sure where we stand with God. That we can read all of these things, all of these truths that are generally true about most people, but allowing it to actually inform us is different. I know that God will allow us to come near, but I don't know if he'll allow me to come near. I'm not sure if I've done enough. I know that I don't have to do anything, but I also know I should do something. And I don't know if I've done enough. And we know that everything we've talked about is true, but we're not sure it's true about us. And so we hold back. And for others, it's habit. We've lived so long understanding that or believing or experiencing God as distant, that when we hear that he wants us to draw near, we don't quite know what to do with that because it's not been our experience. And so we keep him at length. But Hebrews doesn't say you're only invited if you've done everything right. It doesn't say you're only welcome if your life looks good enough. It doesn't say come near, but only if you've prepared yourself just perfectly. And even then, there's still uncertainty. Because if you didn't get it exactly right, bad things are going to happen. There's no line that says come near, but if you're not ready, watch out. There's no warning that says, make sure you've done enough first. There's no hesitation in the invitation. There's only this: draw near. The same God who could only be approached carefully through sacrifice and preparation by one person once a year now invites you to come close, to come near. You don't have to stand at a distance anymore. You don't have to wonder if you belong. You don't have to try and earn your way in. And here's why. Because he lives. Because he lives, the sacrifice is finished. Because he lives, the barrier is gone. Because he lives, you don't have to stand at a distance anymore. The work has already been done. The barrier is gone. The invitation is open. You are invited in. So the question isn't, can you come near? The answer to that question is already yes. The question we have is, will we? And so three takeaways for this morning. First, sin created a real distance between us and God. The feeling of distance we sometimes experience with God isn't just something imagined. Scripture tells us that sin created a real separation, not just because of what we've done, but because of what's broken in us. The barrier between humanity and God was real, and it shaped how people approached him. Second, Jesus removed the barrier we could never overcome. The system of sacrifices in the Old Testament could manage the distance, but it could not remove it. But through his death and resurrection, Jesus did what that system could not. He offered one sacrifice for all time, removed the barrier completely, and changed our standing before God forever. And lastly, because Jesus lives, we are invited to draw near. Hebrews doesn't say to stand back and prove yourself. It says draw near. Because of Jesus, we don't approach God with hesitation, with fear, or with backup plans, but with confidence. The question is no longer whether we can come close to God. The answer is yes. The question is whether we will. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that the posture that you take towards us is not distant. It's not looking for us to prove ourselves worthy. It's not looking for us to be in just the right place. But God, I thank you that the posture that you take towards us is of a loving heavenly Father welcoming home his children. God, that your heart towards us is not a posture of reluctance. It's not a posture of question. It's not a posture that says some are welcome and some are not. God, I thank you that your posture towards us is a heavenly Father whose arms are extended, welcoming his sons and his daughters home. And so God, I pray that for each one of us here today who maybe know and can see and can understand that we are living life at a distance, that we are living life far from our Heavenly Father, or even just that we're living our life not as close as we know we could be. God, for those of us who are hesitant for one reason or another to step towards you, God, I pray that you would give us the courage, you would give us the strength, you would give us the grace, God, that you would fill us with the confidence that is ours as your sons and daughters to step more towards you and take another step and another step to come close to you, to, as your word calls us, to draw near to you. God, I pray that we wouldn't stand at a distance, unsure of where we belong. But God, I pray that you would help us to move close, to draw near, to come to you, our Heavenly Father, and to be welcomed in. God, I thank you for the way that you love us. I thank you for the way you welcome us. I thank you for who you are to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, just to bring this all out of the theoretical and into the deeply practical, the deeply real. In Matthew chapter 27, we read in verse 50, Jesus, at this moment, Jesus is on the cross. He's dying. And we read this in verse 50. And Jesus cried out again, and with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. That means he died. Then the next verse, verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple, that is the curtain we talked about that surrounds the Holy of Holies, this curtain in the temple. Jesus dies in verse 50. In verse 51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. The moment Jesus dies, the curtain that separated everyone from the presence of God was torn, because there was no separation anymore. We were invited in. You've been invited in for 2,000 years. There has been a way for you to draw near to God. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. You are welcome. You are invited. God wants you to come close.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting our church in the main menu, then our leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power together. As family, we go,